Sky James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. Good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Looks like it might rain here in Southwest Florida today, and believe me, we could use the rain. I think we have had a total of 1.5 inches of rain this year so far. So rain, yes. Let it come. We can certainly use it. We've had a fire going on down in the Everglades for a month now at least. And Interstate 75, better known as Alligator Alley across there, has been shut about every other day and then opened up again. It's been difficult to travel back and forth to Miami. But anyway, enough of our weather woes. Welcome. Coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, Fort Myers and Naples area. Always glad to have all of you along with us. See, we've got a few people in on the chat room already. Bedtime for Bonzo and Lauder J and Texas Betsy's there. And there'll be more joining us soon. And if you're listening somewhere other than the Head On Radio Network, Why, tune in to the Head On Radio Network and join in on the chat room. We'd love to have you get in on the conversation there as well. Kind of a happy group there most of the time. Not a lot of big news today. This was one of those days where it was fairly difficult to prepare for a show because not anything earth-shaking. Now, I hear people already saying, what do you mean there's nothing big today? Well, there's lots of things going on, but just nothing that literally shook the world today, I don't think, is a major news story. But we have a lot of things that we will talk about today, and if you'd like to join the program, you can join us via telephone, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254, and we'd be glad to have you join us here on the program. That reminds me, I better go check out the phone here a little bit. Don't pay attention to me. I've got to go over to do a little engineering here and see what happens. Have to check out our Vonage site today. We do use Vonage on this program, and I'm checking to make sure everything on the rollover system is set up today. Something tells me it wasn't. That's why I'm going to go check it out real quick like here. But you will be able to call us 866-546-5254. If you've got minutes to spare of your own, give us a shout on 304-574-7813. That's 304-574-7813, 7814, or 7815. Now we're here looking at this Vonage thing and seeing where we're at here. Okay. call forwarding. All right. I guess we're all set to go. Yes, we are. All right. Something I should have done before the program today, but didn't get around to. Anyway, we are glad to have you along with us today, and we do hope you join us on the program. One thing I do want to mention today is I'm really ashamed of some of our Democrats. Max Baucus, in particular, over the single-payer health issue and his being ahead of this committee and not even allowing anybody from the single-payer community to even sit in on the discussion tables. I think it's a travesty. I think Max Baucus has every reason to be scorned by the Democratic community. We all know why he is doing this. It's because of campaign contributions. There isn't any question of it. It's not that Max Baucus has anything in particular against single-payer health system. He's just getting a lion's share of his campaign contributions from the healthcare people, the insurance people, and it shows. And he's going to do what he can to prevent single-payer from happening. And I believe, I'm disgusted by that. I'm disgusted that Max Baucus is a Democrat. I don't think that any of us over here on this side, I mean, single payer is health care. Health insurance is a money-making scheme which makes a profit by denying health care. That's what that's all about. Those are the people at the table. The people that want to make money by denying you health care. It's one of the greatest con jobs of all time, and this argument should have been resolved before it was even started. I see that somebody that I've always had some respect for, even Debbie Stabenow now, is. She said most people are happy with what they have now and want to keep it. That's absolute nonsense. And she comes from a state where they're in desperate need of health care, the state of Michigan. All the auto folks being out of work. There's going to be more auto workers out of work. It's just a slimy way to talk about something that we should all have. And I just think it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. So, shame on you, Max Baucus, and shame on you, Debbie Stabenow. I've always found both of them to be very engaging people, but politicians, you know what I think. I don't have to tell you what I think. Not always what it seems. When you talk to them, you look them in the eye, they're not always going to perform the way you want them to. They're not always going to vote the way you want them to. They're not always going to vote in the best interest of the people of the United States, and that is the case on this one. We should have a single-payer health system in this country. It's time that we get the insurance providers, it's time that we get the CEOs and the bosses in the insurance offices out of the decision-making on whether or not you should have decent health care or not. It's time to take the CEOs of the insurance company out of the decisions on whether or not you should have an operation for cancer or your child should have care for a certain disease. It's time that those people are left out of those decisions. It just seems to me that we are, well, we're known as the most progressive nation on earth, and yet here we are with this archaic system of health care in this country. It boggles my mind, it really does, that we could be so far behind the rest of the developed world in the way that health care is dispensed to the people of this country. I don't know how we got this way. I think we probably looked the other way for a long time. Let's take a call here. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Scott in Sweden.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
pretty good. This topic of healthcare and insurance is something as a person living with the single payer system, I think I'm going to have to say a few words about it.
Yes, I wish you would.
Because you hear a lot of people in America, you hear such false information about what's going on in Canada and such. With a lot of in propaganda. And you mentioned earlier, we introduced the topic of what a scam what it is. And one of the things, I've thinking about this a lot lately and looking into it, is that the incentives in the single payer system as it's set up here really keeps that sort of a scam thing from happening. Because when the physician itself is on a salary, and the lab work is paid for, there's like by tax money, it's like every year they look at the statistics for the last few years and do an average of how much healthcare was consumed. They make out a budget, and that's what the healthcare system has to operate on and move on for the next year. So that measure in it is there a system where, well, let's just do more of these labs and these patients, and let's get pharmaceutical, buy these certain drugs because the pharmaceutical reps told us. There's no incentive here for a doctor to make money on goofing around with the system. So, you got a salary with a fixed budget, and then instead, this system works like you try to do the best health care you can given the budget. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, of course it does. It certainly does. It's very, very difficult situation, and a lot of people are paying some tremendous consequences on account of it. I understand we're having a little bit of audio trouble with your call, Scott. Let me see here. I think I've done everything I can here in the studio to make it okay. Does somebody on the chat room let us know? Is it okay now? Mainly, I think.
Say something. Testing one, two, three.
Yeah, something like that.
I always wanted to say that.
Yeah, somebody on the chat room let us know. Is it Scott's voice or is it mine? We'll track it down here. Boy, we do everything.
It could be the Ohio accent has become indecipherable to the rest of the nation.
I guess nobody on the chat room is going to let us know right now anyway.
Well, that's a bad time to move the can't hear anything.
Yeah. Okay, they say I sound fine, but you don't. So there. It's Scott, they say.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just give up then.
Scott, call us back right away, okay?
Okay.
Call us back right away.
The number, but you all accept the same one.
We'll try it again.
Okay.
All right. We'll try that and see how that goes. 866-546-5254. We do have a guest coming up at the bottom of the hour, by the way, Congressman Earl Blumenauer from the 3rd District of Oregon, Portland area. Going to talk about the economy today. Always fortunate to have one of our United States congressmen on the show. Now let's try this phone just one more time here. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
I'm trying again. Is this better?
Hi, it sounds better to me. Yeah, it sounds better to me. You sounded a little muffled before.
Well, that's the, I don't know what that's, I guess somebody, well, whatever. No, what I was saying is but the healthcare system here is not a for-profit system. It's based on the taxes. It costs, we have seen statistics say it costs about half of what it would cost in the U.S. for a comparable procedure or so. If you need an operation and it costs a certain amount of money, say $10,000, here it will only cost $5,000, and that's because there's no profit motive in it. Our physicians get paid a fixed salary, and it's not a lot of money compared to their American colleagues.
Well, I'm afraid some of their American colleagues live pretty high on the hog. I mean, I've spoken to many physicians who who would be willing to take a salary. Yes, their standard of living might drop a bit for some of these specialists and all, but who says you should make millions of dollars, you know?
Well, here I think the medical corps, you know going in that this is not your path to fame and riches, that you're basically doing this as a service. And so I think it weeds out the greedy and the sleazy. The incompetent still may get in.
Yeah.
But you don't see people going into this in order to get the three rolls and a yacht.
Well, I always thought that was the idea, to do good and help your fellow man and make a decent living. But the getting rich part, I never thought that should be part of it. But obviously it is with some people. I don't want to accuse them all of that because it's certainly not the case.
Yeah, and as I was saying before, I don't know if anybody could hear this, that there's a certain allocated amount. It's like a fixed amount of money that the county, each county, and there's like 24 of them in the whole country, that's their pot to work with, and that's established. This is your budget. So the incentive for healthcare here is to try to cut cost by keeping the service up. There's a lot of innovation of people looking for new test procedures that do the same thing, but maybe cost a fraction of what the other one cost. There's just none of this piling on every conceivable test to rule out every conceivable complication.
Mm-hmm.
So that the doctors, knowing that their means are somewhat limited but still wanting to do as good a job, it really prioritizes diagnostic skills.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they, it's like the first round of tests, they know pretty much there's a rule they call here the 95-5 rule. I don't know if the physicians in the U.S. refer to it, meaning that 95% of all ailments are due to the five most common causes. So if a patient presents and has something that's going wrong with them, they turn first to what statistic, and say this is what it ought to be, and they do the first round of tests, and that takes care of 95% of the things of complaints. It's usually right, and then if something still hasn't worked out, then they can go into the progressively more complicated testing and such.
Sure.
So the costs tend to be real low. The doctors aren't taking a lot of money out of it. There's no incentive for a doctor to prescribe a certain pill just because the pharmaceutical rep came. Because when you go to the pharmacy, the pharmacy has the right and ask you, do you want this pill or you take a cheaper one? And so the pharmacists have the right to go to straight to a generic.
Sure, sure. Well,
so they don't get any of this craziness. And then, so like, it costs, we pay out of our taxes, but we pay probably what would be considered a low-priced healthcare premium if it were, you know, sectioned off that way. It doesn't cost that awful much when you have the whole nation in the same pool.
Right, right. Well, I hope we can come up with something similar. I hope we can come up with something workable. It baffles me as to why we haven't I guess it does not baffle me, knowing the powerful influence of the insurance and medical lobby. It's no surprise that we're at where we are. No surprise at all, I don't suppose. You mentioned something, you had 24 counties in the entire country of Sweden. Is that the way the whole country's...
But they're big.
They're big.
Yeah, the state, the country itself is only the size of California.
Yeah.
In area.
And that's the only way it's divided, is by counties?
Well, yeah, there are regions, basically, yeah.
Okay.
Administratively, it is.
Okay.
We don't need states. You know what I mean?
All right. Yeah. I like to know these things.
California looks here.
yeah. Well, much of Europe does have much more sensible health care than we have here. I'm not saying we don't have good procedures here, because we do, but there's a vast amount of money being wasted every single day. And I've mentioned on the program in the past few weeks, I now have a friend that has now been in the hospital for 11 weeks, not in critical condition, but they cannot get her diagnosed in 11 weeks.
Wow.
And tossed from one doctor to another to another to another. And I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. I don't think I've ever known anybody that wasn't in a, you know, a horrible crash or had a didn't have a terrible disease that was in the hospital for 11 weeks. But just being bounced around from one doctor to another, they have no insurance, the family doesn't. And here they've been in, she's been in the hospital for 11 long weeks and still undiagnosed. So it's an interesting situation we get into here, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, this is the sort of thing that just drives me almost to want to scream. I'm sure many Americans feel the same way. Because that sort of thing couldn't happen here. People are not punished for their inability to pay. You're going to pay your taxes anyway. I mean, everybody has to pay their taxes. And you're contributing to society. You're putting your money into the system. And you ought to get health care as well. And that is just, it's totally absurd that you have to have an additional way of paying in for something as essential as medical care, because you can never rule out that something unanticipated, nothing of your own fault, happens to strike you, and then they have to pay. It could be financially ruined. Like that woman's family's probably going to be. It's just,
yeah.
It's unfair. It's a matter of a lack of a civil right, and that's how people look at it here. But nobody goes uninsured. If something happens, you get the right to the same quality of care as anybody else. It may not be top of the line compared to the best of American hospitals, but the outcomes are very good. People like the system. It's relatively cheap. I mean, Americans have nothing to fear with a system like this. I think you gain much more. You get people becoming doctors who want to be a doctor, not a route to be rich or whatever it is.
That's right. That's right. I do agree. I do agree with that. Well, hey, I thank you for your call today. I appreciate it very much. Good to hear from you. And
I just wish somehow I could bang this idea in the Obama's head.
Well,
man, come over here, Dick.
We have to keep at it. That's for sure, and we will.
Yeah. Okay.
Good to hear from you, my friend.
Okay.
Bye now.
Take care. Bye.
Well, I tell you. Yeah, that story's true. 11 weeks in the hospital for a friend of mine now, and undiagnosed. it'd be laughable if it weren't so serious. Got some sort of a blood pressure problem that goes up and down, spikes up and down, and seems like nobody can seem to find out what it is. And so there she has been for quite a long time, her husband and she and I, my family, are good friends, and 11 weeks seemed like an eternity in the hospital. My God. Representative Earl Blumenauer from Oregon, the 3rd District of Oregon, from Portland, actually, is going to be with us to talk about the economy coming up in just a few minutes. So we'll be getting ready for that, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Looking out on a vacant field.
Oh, long time gone. Long time gone. Yeah. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the Head on the Radio Network today, here on the Guy James Show. Hold your calls for a few minutes. We're waiting for the congressman to call in here for just a moment. Congressman Earl Blumenauer from the 3rd District of Oregon will be with us hopefully shortly, unless they got called for a vote or something, and I really don't know about it. I hear noise in the background. I don't know what that is today. Anyway, but I do want to reiterate, shame on you, Max Baucus. We talk about this health situation all the time, and I get some heartbreaking letters from people, emails from people who are denied health care that they need, especially since we've been discussing this issue so much. I see Ed Schultz had the same guest that we had on a few days later. We scooped him, I guess. Dr. Margaret Flowers, who was on the program last week, and she has really been out campaigning hard to try and get a seat at the table for a single-payer representative, but to no avail. Baucus makes the statement, you can come to my office and talk to me any time that I'm available, and yet he will not seat anybody at the table. Will anybody tell me why that is? I guess you don't have to tell me why. I guess I know why, and it's disgraceful. It's very, very disgraceful on the part of Senator Max Baucus from Montana not to have anybody. When he knows damn well, a pretty doggone good percentage of the people of the United States are in favor of a single-payer health system, and he won't even allow that to be discussed at the table at these hearings they've had. They've had, what, three of them now? Insurance industry is there. The medical community is there. Single-payer health representatives. None. And it's just wrong. It's just wrong. He knows it's wrong. He knows we know it's wrong, but he really evidently does not give a damn. So, I don't know. Hey, what do you think about this Miss California flap that's going on about there? I see the Donald decided that she should still be, despite her hypocrisy and her lies, she should still be held up as an example to all the young ladies in California in the Miss Universe contest. I guess it's all right to flash a nipple here and there and then lie about it to the contest, to Donald Trump. She gets to keep her crown, her bigotry and all, thanks to satisfying Donald Trump, if she had to actually satisfy Donald Trump, then, well, I don't care. If she took part in a Klan rally, she's be punished enough. But anyway, that's an ugly situation out there. And yet Donald Trump made the decision. And I see now we've had one of the main figures in the contest that runs that contest out there has resigned. I have to tell you, beauty contest, I have no interest in them. Never did. I'm particularly offended by these ones for the little kids. I'm just not crazy about beauty contests, I guess. I don't see at all what they do for anybody. I really don't. Well, anyway. And I see our good friend Glenn Beck. I'll tell you something. I listened a little bit of his show the other day, and I am fascinated that he's on in, a good time slot, good radio time slot, got a good TV time slot, and I am fascinated, upset and disappointed, I guess, that there are people in this country who think this man is speaking the truth and that he's really got something going for him. I know a businessman here in Southwest Florida who has a tire store, a very successful little chain of tire stores. And they do tune-ups and, it's like some of these national chains, tune-ups and sell tires and all that sort of thing. And that's where I always went to get my tires and little tune-up jobs and that sort of thing. And I heard the other day, a couple of weeks ago actually, that Glenn Beck, of course, Glenn Beck is on the local right-wing station here where this gentleman advertises. Glenn Beck had done a personal ad for these guys. They hired him to do an ad for their tire store. And I saw Johnny, a guy I know, a relative of the guy that owns a tire store, and I said, I hate that ad. I hate that ad. And Johnny smiles, oh, we love him. We love Glenn Beck. And I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I will never, ever, ever spend another dime in a store that makes money off of Glenn Beck. I won't do it. I don't care whether we've been friends or not. I don't care whether I've gotten good service or not. I guess they don't know me. But again, I guess in this area they can get away with that. They can offend one-third of the people who live here and still make a profit because the other two-thirds probably love Glenn Beck. But it fascinates me that Glenn Beck is listened to by people and taken seriously. I listened to a segment of his program the other day, and before I get too far off base here, that he thinks we're being psychologically manipulated and that they may be putting chips in our food or chips in our microwave so that they can keep track of us. All our household appliances, anything they sell us that comes into our home, they're putting microchips in them so that they can keep track of everything that we do. The guy's flipped out. And I don't know if you've noticed the advertisers on his program. They're selling special seeds for survival. Yeah. Seeds for survival. And they're supposedly not been genetically mutated in any way. So, and they're going to be worth more than gold when things turn really bad. How are you going to grow them, Glenn? We only got one growing season here, and my question is where are you going to grow them? If you think that you're going to sell, grow sweet corn and lots of veggies here in Florida, I got news for you, pal. Not going to happen. Lots of places in this country, it's not going to happen. So here he is selling these seeds. Well, what kind of a bunch of kooks sell seeds that are going to be worth more than gold when things turn ugly? So you'll buy these seeds, and you will be ready for the hard times when the rest of the world is starving. You will have seeds so that you can survive. Let me get this straight. All of the rest of the world is starving to death. And wouldn't it make sense for him to start selling weapons as well? Because let's look at this whole picture that Glenn Beck is painting here. You've got your seeds that you've bought for this emergency situation. And you plant your garden. And, of course, most of the people around didn't get these emergency seeds. And they see that you have a garden and people are starving to death. And after everybody's killed all the birds and animal life and everything and don't have anything to eat except your garden, you don't think for a moment that you're going to be able to protect your emergency garden from all the hungry people around, do you, without a great many weapons and a lot of ammunition. So it would follow that Glenn Beck would probably sell ammunition and weapons on his program as well, wouldn't you? I don't think the seeds would do you any good unless you could protect your garden. No. So, hey, the whole thing is just ludicrous. But you can bet that since they're being advertised on old Glenn Beck's show, that he'll sell them and the company selling them is going to make a lot of money. Oh, yes. And I see now that he's also saying he's been on this crusade against Acorn and now has kind of alluded to the fact that maybe the people from Acorn might attack him and take his life. And see, he said, so if you see any weird airplane accidents or auto accidents that I'm involved in, look at it real close. He said, because I'm not suicidal. You know, that's odd that he says he's not suicidal, because earlier in the year, I believe it was around January or the end of last year, I don't remember exactly when he had his hemorrhoid operation that he, you know, played up big. Who wants to play up a hemorrhoid operation real big? But he was in the hospital, and he was in a lot of pain. You remember that? Okay, we have a call coming in from the United States Capitol. Says, so let's do answer the phone. Whoops. The call went away. Well, we'll have to wait till they ring it again here. We'll see. Yeah, Beck was in the hospital having his hemorrhoid operation, and they were giving him drugs to keep him out of pain, and he said he was very suicidal. If someone had brought a gun in the room, he said he would have used it. So, Beck's a funny guy. Beck is a funny guy. Funny in a way that we'll talk about a little later, him and his friend Hannity. And don't know where our call went right there. We have a call ID thing here, and it was from the United States Capitol. So evidently the congressman tried to call us and then changed his mind or something. Maybe they did call a vote. I don't know. Let's try it again here. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Well, I don't know what happened there. I think they'll call us back in just a second. We'll wait on that. Man, I hate it when we have these kind of troubles. Probably something I'm doing wrong here, but I don't know. All right, anyway, you're listening to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. Okay, do you hear the dial tone now? Hope not. All right. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us here in the program. Someone on the chat room, tell me, do you hear the dial tone right now? Do you? All right. That's fun when you do a self-produced and self-directed program here. We'll resort to a tune here. And then we'll be right back. We'll try to establish this call.
Child
has the Dixie Chicks for you this afternoon. Don't know what's happening at the United States Congress here with our Congressman Blumenauer. Called once and then hung up immediately. So don't know what's happening. I've sent word to them, so we'll see if they get back to us soon. It's very difficult to call them during the day. They have to call as they have time, and they're not always able to exactly when they call. So that's the caveat about having some of our elected officials on the show. Sometimes they get hijacked at the last minute. So we'll see if we can get that straightened out or not. I sent an email, and maybe they'll be able to get it in time. I see the GOP is going to have a special meeting, where they're all going to get together, and they're going to rebrand the Democrats. They're going to call them the Socialist Democratic Party now, or the Democrat Socialist Party. That's what it is, the Democrat Socialist Party, and that's how they're going to refer to the Democrats from now on. Now, isn't that lovely of them? The Democrat Socialist Party. That's what they will call us from now on. Well, I can think of a few things I'd like to call them as well. are they being childish or what here? I think they're being just amazingly childish. And let me tell you something. This media dinner the other night, I saw a good deal of it, like many of you did, and you've all heard the controversy now about this Sykes woman, the comedian, that was going on, and she said she didn't want Limbaugh to completely fail. She just wanted him to have kidney failure. Hell, I wish, and I'll tell you something, and I'm not going to kid around here with you. I'm not going to kid around with you at all. When I say something, I'm usually not kidding. If I am, I'll tell you so. But she said that about Limbaugh, and all the right just raised holy hell over it. Oh, my God, that's the worst thing that ever happened, wishing Rush Limbaugh was dead. Well, I wish Limbaugh and Hannity and Glenn Beck and Mark Levin would all fly a small plane over the Bermuda Triangle. And I do mean that. I do mean that. I don't mean that in jest in any way, shape, or form. These guys are as anti-American as you can get. And when hearing from them, I sometimes get the eerie feeling that Joe McCarthy is hovering above someplace, just smiling down upon them, saying, "That away, guys. Do it. It worked for me. It can work for you." And that's exactly what these guys are doing. They talk of everybody being socialist and fascist and commies and the like. These guys are dangerous, and as much as I believe in free speech, and you know I do, I believe the group I mentioned here are all guilty of screaming fire in a crowded theater. They're a menace to the people of the United States. I don't care how you cut it. They are a menace, and they are dangerous. And whether they actually believe the filth they spew out of their mouths, or whether they're just doing it for a buck, it's reprehensible. And we need to find a way to either silence them, and yes, I do mean that, or overcome them with voices of our own. And the latter would be preferable for me. And so far, as you well know, we're losing that battle in a big way. And very few on the left think it's all that important that we counter them on the airwaves. Oh, sure, we've got Ed Schultz on TV now, a total pretender whose views were 100% right-wing until some Democratic money was waved in his face. His story about being changed by his wife is complete bunk. But Limbaugh, I won't kid around about it. I'll tell you the truth, and I don't care if it's controversial or not. To be absolutely honest with you, if he were run over by a bus today, I would dance on his grave, because I believe he's an enemy of the people of the United States. And there I said it, and I mean it. I damn well mean it. I despise everything Rush Limbaugh stands for. He's not an entertainer. He's not a comedian. He's doing the bidding of those who want to make slaves out of the rest of us. And if he were gone, it'd be a positive thing for America. And I do mean that. And I would never apologize for it. Never. The things that they are saying these days on the radio are so outrageous hoping that the President of the United States fails. If the President of the United States fails, we fail. Let's see what we have here on the phone. Huh. Well, I... Well, we are certainly having some kind of a problem with the phone again today. Oh, I hate this. I hate this in the worst old way. Especially when I'm talking about some SOB hate monger who makes $50 million a year and we can't afford to have a decent phone system. You don't know how that rankles me. It just bothers me to no end. It really does. And he's got disciples everywhere listening to everything he says. And yet some comedian gets up and says something about him during one of these things, and, it's terrible. Hannity going on, why, they wishing Rush is dead. They wish he's dead. Yeah. That may be a bad person for saying that. I don't say that about anybody else. It's just that I fear for my country when guys like him are respected by millions of people and listened to by millions of people, and the filth that he spews is taken as gospel by millions of people, and he warps their minds with the lies and distortions that he passes on every day. Him and Hannity and guys like Glenn Beck is just pure insane. He's insane, and the people at Fox know he's insane. He's a male Ann Coulter. Just go on and say the most outrageous crap you can possibly say for ratings. That's got to be it. The man is insane. Maybe I should pity him. I don't pity him, though. I don't pity anybody who's out whoring themselves politically for millions and millions of dollars of profit. I think that's the lowest of the low. Absolutely, it's the lowest of the low. Oh, I don't know. I think you can tell the frustration in my voice when I start talking about these people, and we do have little technical problems like we're having today, and scrounging just to keep a show on for the expenses of it, and there he goes with $45, $50 million a year. Amazing to me. I don't want the Republicans to go away. You know, to have an effective two-party system, there has to be two parties. Right now, we got about a party and a quarter. And the country needs somebody to slow things down, not stopping its track by lying on the tracks. So the Republicans are killing themselves. And I don't want them to completely go away. I want them to be a viable political party where we can have honest differences with them and we can talk and compromise and do what's best for America. It's a good thing to have two political parties. But right now we don't. We've got these Rush Republicans and the Klanservatives. And who knows who's really leading that party? I do believe they are Rush Republicans right now. I believe Rush Limbaugh does have the controls. I believe that Rush Limbaugh, if he had any cojones, would run for president next time around instead of opening his mouth about it. He should just get out there and run. He's got money behind him. Think of the money the man could raise. Why, all he'd have to do is snap his finger and he could raise tens of millions of dollars overnight. Yes. the most popular radio host in America, he wouldn't have trouble raising money. Listen to all the fools that listen to him every day and take what he says as gospel. All he'd have to do is tell them all to send him $10, and look how much money he would have. And they'd do it, too. Oh, they'd do it, all right. So, it's just kind of ludicrous, I think. But if the man was truly cared about this country and is as popular as he thinks he is, and had the kind of power that we all know he does in the Republican Party. He is, in fact, the de facto leader of the Republican Party right now. If all of that is true, then he ought to do his duty and run for the presidency of the United States. He ought to run for office. But he's not going to. Because he's too rich. He wouldn't make any money as a politician. And let's face it. He could not be a politician, really. Not one that cared for America. Not one that went to Washington to do the right thing for people. Because his ideas are so time-worn and so warped. And so outdated. But there's nothing a man like him could do, like many of the Republicans right now. Their ideas are washed up. They're over the hill. America realized that in these last couple of elections and has started kicking them to the curb. And America will continue to kick them to the curb as long as they don't come up with any new ideas, any new refreshing ideas that are good for America, and don't give up on a lot of the crap that they've been trying to stuff down people's throats for so long. The threats, the fear that they've tried to instill in the people of the United States. And been successful at it, I might add. They got George Bush elected a second time right out of fear. Nothing but fear, did it? And believe you me, you would be sadly mistaken right now if you didn't think the likes of a Dick Cheney. If you don't think that a Dick Cheney isn't fervently hoping that there is some kind of an attack on America, a terrorist attack on America, so he can sit back and say, see, I was right all along. If you don't think he isn't fervently hoping and praying for that every day, and I might add probably his daughter and wife as well, then you're crazy. Because that's exactly why he's out preaching this message of his every single day. That's why he is out disparaging the Obama administration. He's trying to rewrite history. He's trying to get his garden plowed there so that if there is another attack, and we all know there will be someday, we all know there will be, then the likes of a Dick Cheney, SOB that he is, will be able to sit back and say, see, I told you. I told you they should never have closed Gitmo. I told you we should never have talked to the terrorists. We should never have talked to Iran. We should never. That's what's going to happen. And that's the ground he's plowing right now. And it appears that it's been successful with some people. There are people still, small minority of them, that do admire Dick Cheney. God only knows why. I have been told by a couple of people that know him, that are Republicans, in fact, in Washington, D.C., to say he's about as despicable a human being that there could ever be, on a personal level. Forget his politics. He's just a despicable, nasty-ass, no-good SOB human being. But he's been tenacious, he's been mean and nasty enough to claw himself to the top of the political realm, almost to the top. Man, it is interesting that he was able to do that. Well, we're going to pause for news coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be back right afterwards. You're listening to The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be back right after the news.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Doctors and nurses protesting the lack of testimony supporting single-payer national health care were ejected from the third round of Senate hearings on health care reform. Jesse Russell reports.
With no one invited to represent single-payer health care at the final of three Senate Finance Committee hearings on health care, single-payer advocates for the second time in 2 weeks protested from the audience. Nearly 20 registered nurses from the California Nurses Association stood and silently turned their backs to Committee Chair Senator Max Baucus. On their backs, they wore signs that said, "Nurses say, patients first. Stop AHIP. Pass single payer." AHIP is the lobbying arm that represents the private insurance industry. After the nurses were arrested, five additional supporters took turns standing up and expressing their disappointment that the Senate wouldn't invite a single representative when a recent study showed 60% of Americans support such a system. Noting May 12th as the birthday of nursing pioneer Florence Nightingale, one registered nurse quoted the lady with the lamp as she was hauled off by Capitol Police.
Florence Nightingale said, "Were there none that ever hoped for better, there would never be any better. Until there's a single-payer healthcare system in this country, there will never be safety for patients that need access to medicine and straight care."
After the last advocate was removed from the audience, Baucus pledged that he will meet with anybody who wants to meet with him.
"I urge you just to contact my office and we'll figure out a way to talk to you. I'll figure out a way to listen to you. I'll be there, personally, to listen to you."
If you're a truly devout Christian or Jew, your faith guides you to support labor unions and the Employee Free Choice Act labor law reform that would make it easier for workers to form unions. Reverend Jim Wallace of Sojourner Magazine.
"The right to organize is a moral right, and workers need that, and the context has been very unfair. Intimidation, obstacles, prevention of democracy in the workplace has been a real problem. This bill is trying to correct that imbalance."
Dr. Joseph Fahey is a Catholic theologian at Manhattan College.
I think many of us Catholic scholars believe that the Employee Free Choice Act is firmly rooted in Catholic social teaching.
Mordecai Liebling says ever since temple bread makers organized for better pay more than 2,000 years ago, Jewish tradition has upheld the moral right of workers to organize.
"We have supported in Judaism the right to organize literally for two millennia."
An interfaith group called Faith Leaders for Worker Justice is calling on Congress to approve the Employee Free Choice Act.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? You're my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody. Yes, in fact, you are listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And we're glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon on this, what is this, Hump Day, Wednesday. That's what it is, Wednesday. Gosh, time is moving along quickly this week, Wednesday already. Sorry about our guests. I don't know what happened there. I sent an email and haven't heard back yet. They're trying to contact him, and we shall see what goes on. Right before the break, I was talking about Republicans, how we do need a viable second party to keep the Democrats honest, or vice versa, when it happens the other way around. And I, you know, it's okay to offer reasonable responses to the opponent's policies. I don't mind it when they do that. It's not okay to espouse the audacity of no as some sort of a one-note theme song, which is what they're doing right now. No, no matter what the answer is, no. And there's no point in opposing a Supreme Court of the United States nominee before Obama's even appointed one. And the same thing for stamping your little feet, getting all into a snit because the Democrats passed legislation without you, still acting as if you were in charge. It isn't an option anymore. The people have spoken. So, you know, I ask all of our Republican, I say friends, and I say that loosely, I ask all of our Republicans to, you know, make these gas pegs shut the hell up. The few of you who are still sane, and I know there are some out there, and you're afraid to even speak out right now, you ought to stand up and take your party back from the big dick and the fat bottom Rush Limbaughs. And the people won't be happy until they can stone you for ordering a hamburger with Grey Poupon mustard. You know, get your act together. And get your game on. And I hope you do remember one thing. The only thing worse than your return would be your return to absolute power. That didn't work out so well the last time, did it? Not in my opinion. Evidently not in the opinion of the people of the United States, because you've got your butts thrown out, and thrown out in a big, big way. Man. But here we have Dickie Cheney at it again. He's on the Sunday morning shows. We don't see him because he's coming to us from an unknown location most of the time for the past 8 years. And finally he comes out of his hidey hole when he gets to be a sniper and snipe against the Obama administration. When it really mattered that we hear from a vice president and see him and all, we didn't. And now when he's irrelevant, now that he doesn't matter at all in the political spectrum, he's at it again, and there's no end in sight. He's like a cockroach in the night. Dick Cheney, probably next to Limbaugh, is America's unpatriotic citizen number one. And he's out fear-mongering twice in recent days. And he says they've got a major speech coming up at the AEI, that's the American Enterprise Institute, right-wing think tank. And he's going to call it Keeping America Safe. And I'll tell you one thing right now, and I know you understand that. If the tables were turned and any Democrat was saying these kinds of things of a Republican administration, Cheney'd be the first one to remind us and tell us in no uncertain terms that loose lips sink ships during a time of war. And we are, after all, a nation at war. Make that two wars. And make no mistake, this is not Cheney berating Obama. This is Cheney, and this is my whole point about this. This is Cheney inviting Osama bin Laden to make another move. That's what this is about. After all, Cheney is Osama's best recruiting tool. Don't you forget that, and Obama is not. And what's he up to? This is more than just a concern of a citizen. This is a deliberate campaign. It's a deliberate campaign to lay the groundwork for the only issue, the only hope that the Rush Republicans will have in the 2010 elections to get any seats back in either chamber. And if you don't think I'm right, then you've forgotten how Cheney and his cockroach buddies like Shalaby and Douglas Fife and Richard Pearl. You've forgotten, if you don't believe that, you've forgotten how they got us into this Iraq war in the first place. And that's a legacy they want to defend. And as I mentioned before, I think there probably be some kind of attack somewhere in the United States. Maybe this year, maybe next, I don't know when. And that'll be all that Cheney and the Rush Republicans are going to need. It could end up being a malfunctioning popcorn machine at the JFK airport or a cherry bomb at Yankee Stadium. Could be a ice cream truck blowing up in Philadelphia, or God forbid something more serious. But Cheney will take whatever he or someone else can manufacture. And then he won't need to say much. Only that, well, we warned you. He warned us not once, but a dozen times, and the Rush Republicans will have a field day on that. And that's exactly the groundwork this SOB is laying right now. I'll bet you anything that I'm right. I know I'm right on that. Anybody hear where he's going to go back and live? Is he going to go back and live in Texas? I mean, he really didn't live in Wyoming like he was supposed to when he took the vice presidency. Is he going to go back and live? He was living in Texas, I believe. Is he going to go back there, too? You think he might live just up the street from Junior someplace? Good old Texas. I think he'd be real, right at home in Texas. I think he'd be more at home in Texas than he would in Wyoming. I'm sure he would. I looked up the other day, and I found this list. I'm looking for this list of funny things I found about Texas that supposedly is similar to the old laws still on the books. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't think anybody had laws on the books quite like Texas. Here it is. Really important stuff in Texas. A recently passed anti-crime law requires criminals to give their victims 24 hours notice, either orally or in writing, and to explain the nature of the crime to be committed. I don't know about that. In Abilene, it's illegal to idle or loiter any place within the corporate limits of the city for the purpose of flirting or mashing. For you youngsters, mashing and being a masher is an old term for a guy who would force himself upon a woman. In Austin, wire cutters cannot be carried in your pocket. Well, I understand that one. In Beaumont, collegiate football is banned at Lamar University. I don't know the reason for that. In Clarendon, Texas, it's illegal to dust any public building with a feather duster. In Dallas, it's illegal to possess realistic dildos. In El Paso, churches, hotels, halls of assembly, stores, markets, banking rooms, railroad depots, and saloons are required to provide spittoons of a kind and number to efficiently contain expectorations into them. All right, and in Galveston, it's illegal to drive a motor car down Broadway before noon on Sundays. Now, I thought this one here is interesting, and it makes as much sense as a lot of Texans. Houston, Beer may not be purchased after midnight on Sunday. Now get this. Beer may not be purchased after midnight on Sunday, but it may be purchased on Monday. Okay. If two trains going in the opposite directions on the same track meet each other, one can't move until the other one does. In Alamo, a person found intoxicated must be given a large dose of castor oil by a doctor, and the failure to gulp it down will result in a fine. Is castor oil good for drunkenness? I don't know. In Dallas County, it is illegal to own any realistic-looking phallic-shaped personal massager more than 1 foot in length. Well, I should hope so. I always saw a couple of funny ones. In Texas, it's illegal for a chicken to have sex with you, but it's legal, but it's illegal to reciprocate. It's illegal for one to shoot a buffalo from the second story of a hotel. It's illegal to drive without windshield wipers. You don't need a windshield. There's no law for that, but you must have wipers. And it's illegal to have an open container in a car. Well, a lot of states have that, that's for sure. It's legal for a husband to beat his wife as long as he uses something no bigger than his thumb. And it's legal for the blind to go hunting as long as they have someone with them who isn't blind. Well, there's quite a long list of these, and I thought they were, some of them are funny, some of them obviously not, but a bunch of old Texas blue laws that they still have on the books. I don't know if they actually call them blue laws or not. Do you, any of you old enough to remember actual blue laws? I was born and raised in Ohio, and I remember when I was a kid, early on, that a lot of the old blue laws were still in effect, and you weren't, well, most... Almost no stores were open on Sunday unless they dispensed necessities like food and gasoline. I think movie theaters were open. I don't know why they would call them indispensable. But department stores and, you know, like we have today, everybody's open 7 days a week. They just didn't do that then. It was, and that law stayed on the books for a long, long time, but people started... even before the laws were done away with, the law started looking the other way and people started opening their stores. I don't know if it's a good thing. I don't know if it's a good thing or not. Don't you think maybe it'd be a good idea to have a day where things are shut down and we just relax and not have to worry about the humdrum runaround society that we live in now? Do any of you feel overwhelmed by that at times? I know I certainly do. Do you feel like you just don't have time? There are not enough days in the week that you could use another day or two. And I think a lot of us feel that way now and then. It's just, we're on such a roller coaster ride just to put food on the table these days that there's very little time for relaxation. I see in the news that many, many people are doing away with their summer vacation this year because they cannot afford it. The price of gas has got something to do with it. You've noticed that creeping up, right? How much is gas in your area? It's about $2.35 here today. Going up about almost 20 cents in a week. Really, really going up. Really going up. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to all that is, but... I think it'd be nice to be able to slow down just a little bit for a little while, don't you? We're all so doggone busy. The Orlando Sentinel here in Florida has a website of strange things that happen in Florida. And I don't have to tell you, a lot of you know a lot of strange things happen in Florida. Where did I find that? Cosmo, the Jack Russell, and actually this happened in Clarksburg, West Virginia, up in Bob's territory. Cosmo, the Jack Russell Terrier, has done what neither rain, sleet, nor gloom of night's been able to do. He kept the postal carriers in Clarksburg from their appointed rounds. Postal Service spokesman Kathy Yarsky said mail delivery to seven homes in Milford Street was halted because of the 20-pound Jack Russell Terrier. I guess he just didn't like mailmen at all. It wasn't that funny. I don't think my dogs could keep anybody. And here's, where'd this take place? In Pennsylvania, no doubt. Well, come on. Police ticketed an Amish teen at Leon, New York. Police cracking down on rowdy Amish youths ticketed a teenager for having beer in his horse-drawn buggy when they pulled him over on a western New York road. They said the 17-year-old was charged with underage possession of alcohol after he was stopped by deputies late Monday night in the town of Leon, 40 miles south of Buffalo. The teen admitted drinking beer, but he passed a field sobriety test. So there you go. A 22-year-old riding in the buggy was charged with providing the beer. Well, you know, that happens. Back in Ohio, I know a lot of the Amish. In fact, they like to call themselves Amish, actually. They'd head uptown on Saturday night and change their clothes and join the other kids in fun and frivolity, and then change back in and ride the buggies back home. Interesting group, the Amish. Good people. Good people. And I don't think they've been caught up in this economy that we're stuck in right now. I don't think they're caught up in it much at all. That people do an excellent job of providing for themselves at all times. All times. We're going to pause for a quick break right now, 866-546-5254, if you'd like to join us on the program, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Two days past 18, he was waiting for the bus, and his army green sat down in a booth. Cafe there gave his order to a girl with a bow in her hair. He's a little shy, so she gave him a smile, and he said, would you mind sitting down for a while and talking to me? I'm feeling a little low. She said, I'm off in an hour, and I know where we can go. So they went down and they sat on the pier. He said, I bet you got a boyfriend, but I don't care. I got would you mind if I sent one back here to you? I cried, never gonna hold the hand of another guy. Too young for him, they told her, waiting for the love of a traveling soldier. Our love will never end, waiting for the soldier to come back again. Never more to be alone when the letter said, a soldier's coming home.
One Friday night at a football game, the Lord's Prayer said in the anthem, sang a man, said, folks, if you bow your heads for a listen, look, be
We're back with the Guy James Show. Thank you for joining us this afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon, kind of a laid-back Wednesday afternoon here on the show, and we might kind of hoping for a little rain here in Southwest Florida today. Congressman let us know by email they're going to have to reschedule. We had some sort of a phone problem, so we'll schedule that for another time. Sorry about that. We've heard a lot lately about how bad things are with the banks and where are we with the economy. And we're hearing conflicting reports, some that we're not nearly out of the woods, some that thinks we are bottoming out right now. I'm sure some of you have seen the news that foreclosure filings in the U.S. rose to a record for the second consecutive month in April, as banks increased efforts to seize homes from delinquent borrowers. A total of 342,038 properties received a default or auction notice or were seized last month. One in 374 households got a filing, the highest monthly rate since the property data service began issuing such reports in 2005. And, of course, as you know, we've been told that things are improving, and I think that's a lie. And as I have stated many times before, I think this is far worse than it looks. The median holding time for a home loan is around 7 years. So this means, if you look at all the figures, this means that about half of the mortgages written were done before this boom occurred. And those are presumed to be safe, as there's sufficient equity that even if you lost your job, you can sell for more than the outstanding balance on the note, and that's true. So this means that approximately one out of five mortgages written in the last 7 years are either not being paid or are in foreclosure. One out of five mortgages written in the last 7 years. That's 20 times the normal rate. Think about that. 20 times the normal rate. And this can only happen through massive, pervasive fraud up and down the line. This gross mismatch between expectations and historical norms and actual performance means that nobody holding this paper is safe under any definition that you want to use. And with one out of five notes going back and average recovery, and this is a figure that came from HUD, the average recovery being around 50 cents at best, you're talking about losses of 10% of the total amount financed over the last 7 years. That is an incredible amount of money. Now, has this been hidden? I mean, there are reports from across the country that banks have been sending out NODs, their notices of delinquency, but then sitting on the process of effectively hiding the fact. And here's where it gets very, very sinister and very deep. But they've been sending out these notices of delinquency, and then they sit on it, and what they're doing is hiding the fact that these loans have gone bad and will be foreclosed in some cases, allowing people to live in these homes without making a payment for up to a year. And you've heard about these various moratoriums that have been claimed to be responsible for this. That's pure crap. That's plain old baloney. What is responsible for this is intentional sandbagging by the banks, who have two separate but interlocking perverse incentives to do this. And you'll know what I'm talking about if you think back to the news we got, what was it, last month? The banks are praying that the home values recover so that they don't have to take such a big loss. And what's actually happened is the prices are continuing to go down, making the loss worse. And they're holding these notes at full face value on their books, because if they foreclose and sell the property, they're forced to mark the note to the market based on recovery value as are recognized in the sale. And if they do that, many, many of these banks, including the big ones, would be instantaneously recognized as insolvent and couldn't have passed this stress test that was put upon them recently. So when you heard about, for example, last fall, when Wells Fargo changed the definition of a delinquent loan, they just up and changed the definition. They said, well, from 120 days without payment, they changed it to 180 days. And that surprised me. I always thought if you were 30 days late, your loan was delinquent, but it was 120 days, and they changed it to 180. And what this did is it allowed them to report that quarter while booking delinquent only one in three of the loans that went bad during that period in time. And the same game is being played by all of these banks with respect to actual foreclosures. Are you following me on this? Because by refusing to actually proceed from these notices of delinquency to foreclosure in the normal fashion that's permitted by the law, the banks are gaming their results and their balance sheets, and the actual perversity of this in the broader economic sense leads not only to overstated bank results, but also overstated consumer purchasing power. Because here we have people who are living in a house they stopped paying for, effectively having their housing budget reduced to utilities and food, and they're spending money they don't in fact have. When these foreclosures are processed, these squatters are evicted and suddenly their household expenditures either spike or they're rendered homeless. And both of these outcomes destroy their consumer purchasing power, and at the same time, the bank's recognition of these hidden losses destroys the alleged and claimed excess capital that these banks and financial institutions supposedly have. So, to put it bluntly, folks, you've been had by the government that is still sitting back while our nation's so-called financial wizards lie, cheat, and steal to the extent that they're able to. In essence, the real essence of this game playing is, in fact, securities and bank fraud, yet nobody in our government seems to give a damn. And if you got suckered into investing money, by the financial con artists that you see, like on CNBC on TV and Fox Financial Channel and our government, then you got every right to be angry, but you shouldn't be surprised. Myself and many people have been warning about these sleazy banking and Wall Street types for a long time now, but the lies just keep flowing, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt bad. But they are actually keeping some of these on their books, many of them on their books, the foreclosures, and not taking the markdowns so that they can make their bottom line look better, so that they can keep their stock pumped up as high as they can and make more money. It's absolutely reprehensible what they're doing. One would have thought, with the crash of many of these huge financial institutions on Wall Street, that the result might be some real oversight, some real investigations into massive fraud and corruption that took place. One would have expected that. I know I did. I thought, okay, the curtain's come down on this, and it's time, and they're going to go in there, and they're going to dig around the FBI and the FEC and everybody, they're going to go in and dig around, and they're going to find out how polluted Wall Street is with fraud and corruption and graft and theft. And we'll all be better off for it. But you know what? They haven't done anything. They haven't done anything. How many people have been brought to trial? Oh, Bernie Madoff's been brought to trial. That wasn't as a result of all this. Bernie Madoff was just a sociopath that had no compunction about stealing from everybody that he knew. But there's a case right there that the whistle was blown on him 6-7 years ago, and the SEC did nothing. Didn't do anything. Madoff was just scamming, and he wouldn't have been caught. The irony of the whole situation is Bernie Madoff would not have been caught even today. The SEC wouldn't have done a damn thing to Bernie Madoff today if the economy hadn't turned sour, because he was still taking in plenty of money. Oh, he was taking in lots of money. But the thing that hurt him was, and the thing that really caught him was, the economy went bad. And even though a lot of the people that had money invested with him were making money with Bernie Madoff, they thought they were, or through this pyramid scheme, they were being paid money by Bernie Madoff and making what they thought was a huge return. In spite of that, a lot of them had to withdraw money from his fund in order to pay off obligations that other obligations that they had. So what happened was the withdrawals from Bernie Madoff's fund were more than he became more than he was taking in, and that's when the jig was up. That's when he had to give up and just admit that he was a thief. And he did admit that he was just a thief. When he was caught, he was just arrogant about it, how he'd been making off with people's money for years, and that he was smart and they were stupid. And the truth is, he wouldn't have been caught even today if the economy had not turned sour and forced people to withdraw money from his fund to pay other obligations. So, I guess my point in all this is, what have we learned? What have we learned that we can, to use a term, take to the bank? What have we learned through this? Have we learned anything? Have we as a society learned anything? I don't know. I don't know what the lesson is that's been learned. It hasn't been learned on Wall Street. The lesson on Wall Street is just be more careful and don't get caught next time. Are the people at the folded financial institutions that lost tens and hundreds of billions of dollars remorseful? No, they're not. They're just sorry that they got caught. That's all. They're sorry that their own gig is over with, and they'll hunt until they find another one. And it may sound old-fashioned and archaic of me to say so, but let's face it, Wall Street is an area where nothing is produced. I understand that we have to have capital. But Wall Street is a place where nothing is produced. A huge mountain of money ebbing and flowing every day. Producing nothing. Raising capital and making great profits. I've never thought it's particularly honorable to make a living that way. That's just me. But anyway, 866-546-5254 if you'd like to comment on that or anything else we talked about today. I see some of the stores and the retail outlook is not good. It's not good at all. Some of the stores, the retail insiders are betting it could be 12 to 18 months before the consumer spending returns to pre-recession levels. And I have to wonder if it will ever return to pre-recession levels per capita with the coming, and I do believe it is coming, huge crash, huge monstrous number of defaults on credit cards that will send the financial markets reeling once again. Mark my word, that is the next thing. We are not at the bottom on the housing yet. By any stretch, we're not at the bottom, and the latest figures show that. But we have not yet seen even the beginning of credit card defaults, and they are likely to become massive. And I mean massive. We're hearing very little talk about it right now. That's one of the reasons the bankers and the credit card industry are fighting tooth and nail to keep the rules they already have in place to rob and steal as much as they can from people on changing interest rates and fees and over the limit fees and late fees and all the scams that they pull. But there is coming a time when there is going to be a huge, huge default on credit cards. Right now it's running, I believe, just short of 10%. It's going to go up a lot higher than that. And the people that have robbed people all these years in a lot of ways with these high rates and over the limit charges and all that are going to reap what they have sown. They're going to reap what they have sown by sending out credit card applications to the point where I forget how many were sent out last year, but it amounted to over like 175 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. So, in my opinion, hopefully, they will reap what they've sown. And hopefully we will get back to an even keel in this country financially. And I don't think consumer spending will return to pre-recession levels because I don't think it'll be able to. First of all, we've still got up around 10% unemployment. It's likely to go a bit higher if the actual figures of people underemployed and those who've just given up looking for a job are actually figured in. We're more likely up around 15%, and that's a monstrous number. And there's only one job available for every five people looking for a job right now, so that doesn't look good. And you might say, "Well, Guy, you're painting a black picture." I think picture is black. I think it's as dark as can be, and I don't see any signs of improvement. Do you? Interest rates are on the way back up again. The inventory of homes is not going down very much. Foreclosures are up again. Unemployment is rising still. We lost, another 576,000 jobs the past month. Where do you see any light at the end of this tunnel? Where do you see any improvement, this improvement that they're talking about on TV, the bankers trying to, the people on CNBC, trying to push, get a bull market going again. What rationalization do you actually see for that? I see nothing. I see no rationalization for another bull market coming again. Yes, we've had a pretty good last 3 months in the stock market. We were down as low as, maybe nearly 6,500 on the Dow, and now it's up, today it was down 150 or 60 last I saw, but it put it down around, 8,150 or something. So we've had a good 2 or 3 months on the Dow, but that's had nothing to do with the actual condition of the economy. It's had nothing to do, and there's been no correlation between that and unemployment at all. There's been no correlation between that and the housing mess. There's been no correlation between that and the beginning of the credit card disastrous crunch. So the fact that the stock market's picked up 1,500 or 1,600 points in the last 2 or 3 months, really, to Joe Schmo out in the street, doesn't mean a damn thing. It's not showing that he's going to get a job soon. It's not showing that the credit crunch, the financial crunch, is going to end soon. None of that, to me, shows any forecast of improvement whatsoever. So, I don't know. I'm flummoxed by this, just the same as everybody else is. Let's take a listen to the Media Matters Minute for today, and we'll be back in a moment or two.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Brandon Hirsch. Conservative media figures use the slippery slope argument to float tired theories that same-sex marriage will lead to incest, bestiality, and polygamy.
We're supposed to tolerate all the perversion of all the radicals.
And gay marriage on the march. 5 states now approving it. But what about Americans who want to marry multiple partners at the same time?
So you have to change the law to include the polygamy people.
You'd
let everybody do whatever they want.
The slippery slope argument. That's if you allow one thing to happen, then another thing, then another thing.
You would let everybody get married who want to get married. You want to marry a turtle, you can.
You know, procreation is not part of the marriage deal anymore. So if you got fixed and your sister got fixed, why couldn't you get married?
Despite the conservative hysteria in the media, support for marriage equality has increased dramatically. For these stories and more, follow us on Twitter at MMFA and visit MediaMatters.org.
Don't know if that's all so bad, really, if they change all these laws, allow people to marry whoever, whatever they want to. I don't care. I'm not going to change my life any. I happen to think, and he talked about, you could go marry a turtle if you wanted to. Who was it, O'Reilly said that? Well, the three women that have married Rush Limbaugh have already married a snake. Is that not true? So some of this stuff is already taking place. Hell, I don't care. If they want to allow multiple marriages, if they want to not allow all this stuff, I don't care. I don't think it is a threat to traditional marriage in this country. I don't think it is at all. So don't bother me with it. I don't care. I really don't. Does that sound crass? Maybe. But I won't back off from the fact that the three women that have married Rush Limbaugh married a snake, so... Because he is a snake. Jack Kemp died. He was the 1996 Republican vice presidential nominee. As you know, he was a football hero. He died, a week ago Saturday from cancer. And a couple of days later, the Obama White House announced a crackdown on overseas tax evasion havens. And those two events didn't have anything to do with one another, but the juxtaposition could hardly have been more random or more ironic, I should say. And you really need to pause a moment over that irony. You can learn something from it. And to do that learning, to appreciate last week's irony, you really need to take a walk down Republican memory lane back to 1977, the year a young congressman from Buffalo, a former football star, Jack Kemp, he burst onto the national political scene with a daring proposal. And his daring proposal was to slash income tax rates across the board by 30%. And that was pretty doggone daring when he said he was going to do that. And at the time, wealthy Americans faced a 70% tax hike on most of their income. Tax rate. On most of their income, over $200,000, or the equivalent of about $700,000 today. And a tax rate this high, the Kemp campground argued that it drove the wealthy people to chase after tax loopholes. That was Jack Kemp's argument. That if you taxed the wealthy, they'd find loopholes, and if that rate were significantly lower, the contention of his was the rich would no longer have an incentive to hide income, and massive tax evasion would just disappear by lowering the tax. Well, Jack, you didn't account for greed. Kemp wanted the nation's top tax rate sliced from 70 to 50%, and he got what he wanted pretty soon after that, because in 1980, St. Ronald Reagan campaigned as an avid supporter of Kemp's tax cut legislation, and in 1981, St. Ronnie blustered that Kemp tax cut plan right into law. And so we've had more and more tax cuts over the next two decades. And in 2001, a newly elected G.W. Bush would take the top tax rate down to 35%, half of the 70% top rate that Jack Kemp went after in 1977. And so my point in all this is Kemp thought it would cut down on people hiding income. How did the wealthy react to this incredible good fortune? Did they stop hiding income from the IRS and Uncle Sam? You know the answer to that. You know how funny that really is. Because according to an in-depth IRS study released in 2006, American taxpayers paid $345 billion less in taxes than they legally owed. And just which Americans did all this tax evading? Last year, IRS economist Andrew Johns and the University of Michigan's Joel Slimrod broke the IRS tax gap data down by income level and found that Americans making between $500,000 and $1 million a year were underreporting their incomes at triple the misreport rate of taxpayers making between $30,000 and $50,000. So that's how much that tax cut really worked, Jack Kemp, God rest your soul. The entire reason, the entire bogus reason that you had for cutting these taxes is bring more income in because people wouldn't hide their income, and we find out that the rich are misreporting their income at triple the rate of people that make between $30,000 and $50,000. This past January, after Barack Obama took office, the IRS Director of Inspections upped the tax evasion ante. The taxes Americans were evading via cross-border transactions offshore, he suggested, could be adding up to as much as another $123 billion to the original IRS $345 billion tax gap total. So we're talking about $468 billion being hidden. And so that's why Obama announced last week that he's going to directly target these cross-border transactions. He said, currently, wealthy Americans can evade paying taxes by hiding their money in offshore accounts with little fear that either the financial institution or the country that houses their money will report them to the IRS. And so among the steps that the White House is proposing to end this evasion wave is hiring of 800 new IRS agents devoted to international enforcement. The overall tax cheat package that the White House is proposing points out the Tax Justice Network, a global group of tax and finance experts, actually doesn't go so far as to stop the Tax Haven Abuse Act that Barack Obama co-sponsored back in 2007. And the National Association of Manufacturers has dubbed the White House proposals disastrous. Yeah. Well, Jack Kemp couldn't have said it any more feverishly. Three decades ago, at the start of his tax drive to lower tax rates on America's richest, he argued that the tax code then, in effect, punishes savings, investment, work, and production. Kemp has left us now, but his tax spirit certainly lives on. I cringe when I read some of these stories about offshore tax havens that people have got tens of millions of dollars stuffed in and nothing's done. And you mark my word, the 800 new IRS agents that have been hired, they won't pick on those people. They'll pick on you and I. Don't tell them I said that, though. I don't want them to know. Hope they leave the little people alone. Well, we've talked a lot today about the economy. We've talked about the state we're in with the economy right now. I don't want everybody to think that I'm totally glum about the whole situation, because I'm not. As long as you've got the ability to work and can work a little longer than the 65 years that most of us planned on retiring at 65, why? You know, and we're healthier today than 65-year-olds were when Social Security was first put into effect. So we can probably work a little longer. And I know a lot of people are disappointed that they can't retire when they wanted to. I know that. I'm probably falling into that boat myself. Not probably. I absolutely am. So, you know, I guess it's not so bad. There could be something worse. And disappointment, I hear that every day from people that I know saying I wish they could retire and they can't. And I hate to see it when I go to some of the stores and see some very elderly people in their late 70s and 80s working that I know do not want to be with air, but have to avoid eating dog food. Not everybody, of course, but I've talked to people at the grocery and different hardware and different places that do not want to be working, but must in order to survive, and people that are well past retirement age. It's a shame in this country that this has happened, and it's a shame that this happened to people that age right now. But that's the ups and downs of a capitalistic society, and it's something we'll live with. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the program today. I do appreciate it very much. We are a listener-supported program. I do want to remind you, and I hope you'll go to theguyjamesshow.com and help us keep the show going. We'd appreciate it very much. In the meantime, I do want to remind you that you're listening to The Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And as always, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Later, gang.